Do you understand the nature of the one true God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know what I am seeing in our world today? Sinners accusing God of being unjust. So many of us do that through the lens of the bad things that happen to us. God must not be good because this lens says he's not good. That's not how you view things. You view everything through the lens of the good, gracious, loving heart of God. And when you look through that lens at the circumstances, you say, you know what? I may not understand everything, but I know that God is good.
He can heal every scar.
What pops into your thoughts when you contemplate God? A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Is that really true? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he'll help us all get a better perspective of what we should think about when we think about God. And as A.W. said, that is pretty important. Today, we'll discover the foundational pillars of the character of God in this message entitled, Introducing the One True God. It's from Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And we'll be in this important and truly fundamental series for the next couple of weeks, so if you miss any once they've aired, you can go back and listen to them again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. We invite you now to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 33 and get ready to begin. Here now is Pastor Jeff to introduce the one true God.
Exodus, I'll begin reading in chapter 33, starting in verse 18. Then Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Chapter 34. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered." Moses shattered those when he came down off the mountain the first time and saw that the people had made an idol and were worshiping it. Verse 2, "So be ready," God says, "by morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain, and no man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain." So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. In this passage, God is presenting himself. He is introducing himself, so to speak, to Moses and to us. And I want you to notice three discoveries that we see from this passage, namely verses 5, 6, and 7. Discovery number one, God is the one and only God. He's the one and only God. So the Lord is passing by. He's going to make all his goodness pass by. He's passing by and he proclaims his name. When he proclaims his name, he is proclaiming his nature, his character, his heart, who he is. And he says, the Lord God. Yahweh, Lord is all in caps. That means it's Yahweh, YHWH, the special name of God, the covenant name of God, the memorial name of God. It's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush when Moses asked the question, Lord, who is your name? The children of Israel are going to ask me, what's God's name? And I don't know your name. And God says, I am who I am. You tell the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am Yahweh. YHWH, the very special name of God. And so as God passes by, he says, the Lord God. My seminary professor in Old Testament class, he quoted that passage and he said, why does God repeat? Why does he say the Lord God? He said, I believe it's because God is letting Moses know, letting us know that he is the one and only Yahweh, Yahweh God. There is no other God but Yahweh God. The scripture says in Isaiah 45 verse 5, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. God is the one and only God. Second discovery, God is thoroughly and completely good. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. That's what he says about himself. Compassionate and gracious. This is God introducing himself. Does he introduce himself as a capricious, malevolent bully? No, because God is nothing like that. God is a God who is compassionate and gracious. That word compassionate is also translated merciful. It comes from two words when you talk about compassion. It's two words put together, com, which means with, and passion, with me, which means suffering, with suffering. And you apply that to God and you say, well, God is compassionate. God feels your hurt in his heart. God is gracious. Compassionate and gracious. And then it goes on to say, not only is he compassionate and gracious, but he is slow to anger. God is extremely patient. He's not limitless in patience because you can exhaust the patience of God, but God is extremely patient. He is very slow to get angry. He's not a capricious, malevolent bully. God is extremely patient. And then it says that God is overflowing with loving kindness and truth. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Loving kindness is a cool word. It's the Hebrew word hesed. That's God's loyal love. That's God's covenant love. That's when you take God's love and God's kindness and you meld them together. God has loyal love for his people. God is a God who overflows with loyal love, faithful love. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding, overflowing with this love, this kindness and love mixed together, and truth, and truth. That word truth means faithfulness. It means sureness. It means stability, reliability. That's God. It says in Psalm 25, verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Every single path of the Lord is loving kindness and truth. It says in Proverbs 16, verse 6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. Hey, if you want to get your iniquity atoned for, you come to a God who is overflowing with loving kindness and you come truthfully, honestly before him. If you don't come that way, then iniquity is not atoned for. because it takes loving kindness and truth. Loving kindness from God, truthfulness on your part, that you come before the Lord, not trying to put lipstick on a pig, not trying to dress up your sin, but calling your sin what it really is. See, that's why it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, confess, the Greek word homologeo, which means to say the same thing. If we say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin, if we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have people today who want to take their sin and say, well, it's not sin. It's good and right what I'm doing. And so I'm going to walk with God with this sin. No, you're not. Because by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. God is a God of loving kindness and truth, and all his pathways are loving kindness and truth, and he overflows with that. And both of those are critical in understanding God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So God is thoroughly and completely good. And that's what he told Moses. I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. All my beauty, all my bounty. I'm going to show you. The prayer was, Lord, show me your glory. And God's response was, well, I'll let my goodness pass before you. And God's goodness is found in the fact that he's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And he is a God who is unfathomably forgiving. I mean, it blows your mind that God could be as forgiving as he is, but that's what he says about himself. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth, verse 7, who keeps loving kindness for thousands. He guards loving kindness for thousands, and he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He's a God who forgives. That word forgive means to lift. It means to carry away. It means to pardon. And God lifts and pardons and carries away iniquity, transgression, and sin. You say, aren't those all the same things? Aren't those synonyms? Kind of. But here's the difference. Iniquity comes from a root which means to twist, to make crooked. And so when we sin, sin starts first in the mind. And you start having a crooked thought, a twisted thought, that if I do this, which God says don't do, I'm going to find satisfaction and pleasure. And that's going to be the thing that I need. And God says, that's not what you need. But our twistedness in our mind says, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Iniquity is a twistedness. It's a crookedness. And then transgression is the act where we transgress the law of God. Now, we're not just thinking about it. Now we're doing it. And sin comes. Sin is the guilt of the whole thing. So I think about it, iniquity. I transgress. I do it. And then I'm left with sin and the guilt of my sin and the guilt of what I did. And God forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He forgives it completely because God is an amazing God. And I don't know what you've done, but I know God knows what you've done. And you know what you've done. And some of us think, there's no way that God could forgive me. Why? Because God is a capricious, malevolent bully. And man, God is going to, he's going to whack me. I got to really steer clear of God because I had this sin in my life. But that's a distortion of God. God is a God who forgives. As David said, but you, Lord, are gracious. You're good, and you're merciful, and you're abounding in loving kindness to all who call upon you. You are ready, Psalm 86, verse 5, you are ready to forgive. So God told Moses, the Lord God, I am the only one, that I am thoroughly and completely good. And thirdly and finally, God is holy. Holy, holy. He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished because he's holy, holy, holy. When Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 saw the Lord. He says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And Isaiah was able to have a vision of the throne room of God. And he said, the seraphim were there at the throne of God. And they had six wings, and with two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew, and they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When John in Revelation chapter 4 is caught up into heaven, and he sees the four living creatures, and they have six wings, and he says, day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What do you hear in heaven? You would hear the angels constantly crying out, holy, 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 holy. God is holy God. And listen, holy God hates sin. He hates it. And he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He wants to forgive sin. And he cannot leave the guilty unpunished. God cannot wink at sin. He cannot overlook sin. Some people think that, well, you know, I think I'll just take my chances. I'll die and I'll, as one man told me, I said, what would you say to God? Why should he let you into heaven? You know, if you were to die tonight, what would you say to him? He said, well, I'd have to put on my sales shoes. I'd have to really put a sales job on God. You're not going to put a sales job on God. He knows everything. And so the Lord looks, and if you have sin in your life, if you are in Adam, the Bible says in Adam all die, but in Christ are all made alive. If you've never put your sin where God put his son on the cross, then you have your sin. And the fire of God will fall. The fire that fell on Jesus will fall on you because you've never confessed your sin to him. You've never come to him for forgiveness. You've never come in repentance to him. So you're holding on to your sin. God has no choice but to judge you because God hates sin. God is too pure to look upon sin. Sin is never going to be in the Lord's presence, welcomed into heaven. He cannot leave the guilty unpunished. And remember this, he does not ever act unjustly. See, it says at the end of verse 7, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And people say, that's not fair. He's taking the father's sin and he's visiting that on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. God's not fair. It says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. What is the iniquity? That's the twistedness. And the twistedness in the father gets passed on to the children and to the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Let me illustrate that. The father of all who believe, Abraham. Abraham had a problem with lying. He has a son, Isaac. Isaac does the same thing. The iniquity of Abraham and that twistedness is now in Isaac. And then Isaac has a son. His name is Jacob. Jacob means con man. That's what the name means. Sorry for you Jacobs out there. He tricks his dad into giving the blessing. He pretends to be his brother Esau. And Jacob has 12 sons. And those 12 sons have trouble with lying. And the iniquity of the father, Abraham, is seen in Isaac, is seen in Jacob, is seen in his 11 sons. God visits the iniquity of the father to the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. But now watch it. He keeps loving kindness for thousands. If you want to know a distortion about God, here it is. God is skewed to the good. God is skewed to the good. He's skewed toward mercy. He's skewed toward grace. He's skewed toward forgiveness. He keeps loving kindness for thousands, yet he visits iniquity to the third and fourth generations. And God is through introducing himself. And verse 8 said, and Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. You know what I am seeing in our world today? Sinners accusing God of being unjust, of being merciless and cruel and mean and vindictive. The God who's abounding in loving kindness and truth, the God who is holy, 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 and you have sinners steeped in sin accusing God of unrighteousness. It would be like this. It would be like a 20-watt light bulb berating the sun, telling the sun he doesn't know how to shine because you don't shine like I do. And the sun, S-U-N, laughs at the 20-watt light bulb. You don't know what you're talking about. Listen, be careful in your understanding of God that you don't view the heart of God through the lens of circumstances. So many of us do that. Through the lens of the bad things that happen to us. Well, bad things happen to me. Therefore, God, I'm looking through this lens of divorce. I'm looking through this lens of financial difficulty. I'm looking through this lens of hardship. I'm looking through this lens of the death of a loved one. God must not be good because this lens says he's not good. That's not how you view things. You view everything through the lens of the good, gracious, loving heart of God. And when you look through that lens at the circumstances, you say, you know what? I may not understand everything, but I know that God is good. I know that God is holy. I know that God is the only God. I can trust that God.
The heart of our Heavenly Father is tender toward his children, and his face is toward you right now. No matter what you might be going through, no matter what it is, you're precious to him, and he loves you. He loves you so much that he's willing to walk through your dark times with you. May God comfort you and use today's message to strengthen you right now. What a lesson called Introducing the One True God. You heard part two today. Now, this is the first of six messages in Pastor Jeff's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Perspective is a critical thing. Without the proper perspective, people can make some terrible decisions. They can easily believe lies simply because they're not seeing the whole picture. And when you gain true perspective, you stand amazed at the goodness of God and his patient dealings with you and me. How do you understand God? Would you say that you define God in your own mind and heart exclusively based on what a few people have said about God, or how some supposedly godly people have acted that was very ungodly? Well, you'll want to get this series from Pastor Jeff to help you get recalibrated to the truth. This six-message series is available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive as our gift to you to thank you for your support of any amount this month. You can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE to get yours, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the Perspective series. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. He is our chief volunteer. So thank you for helping us to tell the world that God loves them so much. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Hey, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be with us next time when Pastor Jeff will present another insightful and empowering message from the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Be with us then when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From Mama's Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.